Good morning, Encounter. It's lovely to see you. If you don't know me, I'm Chuck Gerwig, and I'm just an old pastor who's just looking for an opportunity to talk about Jesus. So I'm really thankful to be here with you. For the last 3 years, I've had the opportunity to come and preach multiple times, and I'm going to tell you the honest truth. This is my favorite church to preach at. And I know people say things like that. Hey, you're my favorite. I've got twins, and I both tell them that they're my favorite. So, but I'm telling you, there's no church that I've preached at in America or internationally that seems to have this high of a percentage of people who seem to be really trying to get something from God on Sunday when they hear the word. And so every time I get to preach here, I'm excited. So I'm excited. I'll try not to talk too fast. Now that I'm 64, this morning I'm 64. Now that I'm an old guy, I no longer pastor churches. I don't plant churches. My role now is I work with a group called Global Training Network. We take biblical training to pastors in, for me, East Africa and Southeast Asia. And I'm working on getting into the Middle East, but it's a little bit sketchy. So we go to places where people are actively pastoring churches, but have no ability to get a Bible school, any formal training. And so we get old guys who've got a lot of experience and Bible knowledge and can still travel. And they put us on planes, or we put ourselves on planes. We go off to far off places. And we help train pastors who can't get a training so that they can effectively reach their people and effectively reach their country. So I got the best gig in the world, but you never get to speak in English. You're always speaking through a translator. And when you speak through a translator, it makes it more difficult. So it's really fun to speak in Ventura County, where I live, to people who understand what I'm saying. And I don't need to apologize for weird colloquialisms. Let's pray that God will speak to you today. Dad, we thank you that we could gather freely in your name in this place and that you freely are waiting to speak to us. We don't have to pay anything. We don't have to pay our dues. You want to talk to us. So God, would you give us ears to hear you from your word? As we finish off this year and run into the next one, we pray, Father, that you would give us guidance and you'd give us encouragement as we run forward into 2024. We ask you that legitimately. We're listening. Say something to us and we'll grasp it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here's the deal. In the scriptures, have you noticed that they often talk about the Christian life as being like a race, like a marathon, a long race that we're engaged in? We find it in Hebrews, we find it in the writings of Paul, and when you find a repeated illustration, you want to pay attention to that. And one of the things that we're going to do this morning is talk about how did the 2023 lap or leg of your race go for you? How was 2023? You're the last day, it's the last lap of this year's race. So are you limping a little? Are you tired out? Are you energized after Christmas and ready to run into the new year? So whether you are tired a little bit, feeling fatigued in your run towards God and with God, or whether you're feeling energized and enthusiastic and encouraged, and other words starting with E, I pray that you will listen because I know that God has something for you in this passage today. We're reading out of Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. If you're not that familiar with the Bible, there's a pulpit Bible in front of you, and you can pull that out, and on page 852, you'll find this passage we're looking at. And I'll encourage you to look at the Bible. It'll be on the screen, and also look at the Bible so that you can see, is what this guy's saying what God is saying? This is such a great passage. It's so application-oriented, and he makes it really easy because three times the writer says this, let us do something, let us do something, let us do something, and he gives a fourth thing that also really is leaning into that, let us. What is it that we should be doing? At the end of a year, we can like look backwards at our life and look how the year went, and they'll have all those shows like everybody who died in 2023, you know. And a lot of times we want to look back, but we can also kind of look forward. It's the end of the year, but it's the beginning of a new year. If you're going to run the Christian race this year, it's almost like you're in the starting blocks. It's tonight as they go 10, 9, 8, and half of you are already asleep. As they count that down, I mean, maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, on your marks, get set. And in the morning, you hear the starter pistol. You've got a whole new reset. You've got a whole new year to run into. So how are you going to run? And the writer here gives us several things that we can actually do to run better, to run more gracefully, to run more effectively, and to run with greater joy in the race. Let's read Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. He starts with the word, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, he scorned its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. So the very first word is really important in this passage. So if you look at it, it's therefore, and every time you see the word therefore in the Bible, you should see that word written out, but you should see it with an outline of an arrow pointing right around it. Therefore, but it has an outline, and the outline is in the shape of an arrow. And every time you see therefore, don't go forward until you go backward. Because to understand the context is to understand what it is that God is truly saying. And if we miss the context, no joke, I work all over the world with people who don't have a lot of biblical education, and you would not believe what people have told me passages in the Bible say. And one of the greatest things that I get to teach people is find the context and you'll know what the writer meant to say. And one of the simple things is saying, don't start with the letter, with the number one. If it says therefore, go backwards, because what he's saying is, because of this stuff before us, that's what this is related to. So when he says therefore in the very first verse of chapter 12, he's pointing to the verse and the verses right before it, which would be chapter number, everybody tell me?
11.
Wow, and you guys all went to public school. That's amazing. Good job. That's a good job. I did too. So in chapter 11, if you're not that familiar with the Bible, it's often called like the Faith Hall of Fame. And the reason is, in fact, go ahead if you have a Bible and just turn backwards one, follow the arrow. And you might need to go back a page or just, you know, up the page. But in that chapter, it mentions by name 20 of the ancient followers of God who were really heroes. They ran a good race. And 27 times in those 40 verses, he mentions how they trusted God when things were easy, but in especially when things were difficult and they had a difficult race in front of them. And he says, because of these people and their experience with God, you should do these things in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. He goes along and he says, therefore, because we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Who? It's the people from chapter 11. So I'd encourage you, go back and read that today, later after church, because he's saying, because of these people in chapter 11, this is a reason to run well. And then he gives you some runner's hints. Chapter 11 is this kind of ongoing story of how God was faithful to people every time. And he rewarded them in the future, but also, if you read, he rewarded them and blessed them throughout their life. And he says that we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And that's kind of a New Testament way of saying a crowd. When you see cloud here, read the word crowd. It's talking about a great multitude of witnesses. And the picture is this running of this race in a Roman amphitheater. And in the amphitheater, we have these people who are watching us in this illustration, if I read it right. And he's saying, these people that have gone before you in chapter 11, they're like surrounding you and they're watching you and they're cheering you on. But here's the deal. That's not all that he means here. In fact, the more important understanding of this cloud or crowd of witnesses, the heroes of God's family from the Old Testament, is the idea of they witness or testify. That word is translated witness or testify to what God has done in his faithfulness. It's not just that they're running you and cheering you on. It's more importantly, he's saying, look to these and run well because they bear witness to God's faithfulness. He has always been faithful. We just sang it. But this verse right here is telling us, hey, you're going to be running this race. You're running in the amphitheater. Run well. Be blessed in your race. And one thing you do is you look up into the stands and you see these people, Moses and Abraham and Joseph and David, and they stand up and they go, man, my race had hard days and easy days, good days, difficult days, and God is faithful. I won. I was victorious, and I am victorious in the kingdom of God. So we don't often do that. We tend to think about our own circumstances, or we tend to think in very short terms in America. And what he's saying here is, look back for thousands of years at these people that you know their stories. In fact, he mentions Abel, of Cain and Abel fame, and he says, he still speaks even though he's dead. What does he say? God was faithful. God is faithful. So as you get ready to run into this new year, on your mark, get set, go tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off. Recognize, he says, look, you're surrounded by people in history who are part of your family and they've been victorious. And because they have been, you should be encouraged in the race you're running. How are you feeling about 2024? Do you see hurdles on the racetrack? Maybe there's health or there's finances. There's fearful things in the world stage. There's economic issues. You know, are there hurdles in front of you? Or is it a sunny day? Track's looking flat. There's a tailwind. You're ready to run. You've already run off all of your Christmas ham and you're ready to go. Either way, God says, look upwards and backwards at all the people in history who have been very faithful, and they bear witness, their lives bear witness, that you win. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, it's in Philippians 1, verse 6, he says, speaking of Jesus, it says, Jesus, he began a good work in you, and he, Jesus, he will bring it on to completion. And you'll see the completion of that in the day of Christ Jesus. But you are on your way to the winner's circle. You are victorious. If the Spirit of God lives in you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you win. And any other belief is absolute unreality. And so we can look and say, man, God is so faithful to all of history. He says, look at these people all around you, and they bear testimony and witness to the fact that God's people overcome and they win. They're blessed and they're rewarded in this life and the next. So he says, so since we're surrounded by such a great crowd of winning people who have followed God into the afterlife, what should we be wearing as we run? The runner's attire. And he says this, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that's so easily entangled. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but in the Roman games, the runners ran bare naked, which is super funny, okay? The runners ran bare naked. Why? Why do they run naked? Well, because they didn't want anything to hinder them. And many people wore robes in those days and kind of skirt things. And I don't know if you've ever been out for like exercising on your mountain bike or something. You get a new mountain bike and you go out in your blue jeans or something. You're like, man, this is really hard. You know, that's why we have runner's clothes. Well, in those days, the best runner's clothes were, you know, a la birthday suit. So they ran naked so that they wouldn't be slowed down and hindered by things binding them, or so they wouldn't be tripped up by their clothes. So he says, look, you know, you've got all these people around you. They're winners. They're cheering you on. You're in a race. And because you're in a race, he says, throw off everything that hinders. Everything that hinders you. And the sin that so easily entangles. So things that just hinder you can be just having a negative attitude. You know, in your run for 2023, did you have a negative attitude? Were you more pessimistic than optimistic? Because that hinders your joy. It hinders your testimony. It hinders your family. He says, man, throw that off. Or, did you sit with a lot of worry and anxiety and fear in 2023? I mean, that's kind of a natural reaction to a lot of what happens in our life. But will that hinder you from experiencing God's joy and peace? Will that hinder your testimony to others? Will that hinder your energy, your creativity? Absolutely. He says, look, throw off everything that hinders you or that slows you down. I love this passage, and although this is a new sermon on it, I've preached on the passage in Africa, and I realize, they don't own anything. The people that I'm working with often don't own very much of anything. And I thought, what can I say? And I asked some guys in Sudan, hey, so what's the biggest, heaviest thing you own? And a bunch of guys said, my goat. And I thought on my feet really quickly, I was like, yeah, so let's say that you're going to go for a run. And it's really important that you win this run. But you pick up the big, largest goat and you put him on your shoulders and you start running. And they're like, oh, that would not be good. That would be hard, and goats smell. And I'm like, they do. Now here's the deal. You've got to take off the goat to be able to run unhindered. So what's your goat? So I'm asking you, in 2023, what was your goat? What were you running around with that slowed you down or hindered you? What stunk? What was by you that just smelled bad in your life? When you recognize what hinders you, you know what to throw away. You know, maybe it's just a lack of connection with God personally. Again, maybe it's fear or worry, or maybe you've been struggling with impurity. What is it that hindered you or slowed you down? And basically, what I would say to you this morning is run naked. Run naked. Get up tomorrow morning. Run naked, you get a pass. Tell them they told you in church from the pulpit. It's got to be okay. Is there anything that's slowing you down or tripping you up? He also says, so let's throw off everything that hinders, everything, anything that's going to slow you down. And I'm encourage you, at the end of the sermon, there's some sermon notes on your handout. Take them home and really put to work. Go, what is it that hinders me? The other part of it is the sin that so easily entangles. He's talking about the sin that you find yourself falling into, that you get jammed up in and you get tangled up in. Not just something that slows you down, but something that trips you up, that stumbles you. And yours may be different than your spouse's or your neighbor's. But everybody has something that's the thing that's easy for them to fall down into. And it could be impurity of some type. It could be substance abuse of some type. It could be greed. But there may be something that you go, it's really easy for me to sin in this way. And he says, find it, name it, and throw it away. In 2023, was there something that had you tangled up that you couldn't run towards Jesus well? Your joy was affected, your performance in your life was affected by your joy, your peace. He says, throw it off. run naked from these things into the new year. So one of the best things you can do, I did it this very morning, was, Jesus, what's been hindering me from living the kind of life, the victorious Christian life, which is regardless of what hurdles or hassles are in front of me, I'm yours and I win. I mean, I read the book. All those people in chapter 11, they bear witness. You can do it. You're winning, and you will do it because Jesus has begun the work in you. He brings it on. He completes it. And nobody can stop Jesus. Not even me. So he says, run well. Be inspired by their example and throw off everything and anything that's hindering you in your attitudes or your actions. And if things have been really good in your life, recognize that one of the things that can hinder you is your blessings. That we can be so blessed, we can lose focus by being refocused on our new home or our new boat or our new surfboard or success in business or our investments. And he says, sometimes it is the good times that hinder us from focusing on Jesus and running towards him and for him. In the second part of verse 1, he mentions the runner's attitude. I mean, how do I want to think about the way I'm doing my race in my life? And he says, so let us run with perseverance. So again, first, let us throw off everything. Now, let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Now, what's really important to understand is there's a race that is marked out for all of us. There's also a personal race that you have for you. Now, God isn't judging you by how you do Pastor John's race. He's really not. He's saying, you have your own lane. I've marked it out for you, by the way. So run in your lane. It's not a race against the others around you. It's just running towards Jesus. So I don't want to be judging myself based on somebody else and their run. He says, I've marked out a lane for you. There's signposts on which way to go. In 2023, did you follow the markings that God had for you? And if not, what were they? What will they be for 2024? It's a great exercise. God has marked out a race for me. God, what are the signposts of what you want for me to do in 2024? Are there course corrections to make? Am I on track? I mean, sometimes you just got to rejoice that you've been on track. I think in churches, sometimes they're like, here's what you need to do better, and next week you can do this better, and the next week you can do this better. Guess what? Sometimes we read these words and we recognize, I've been in my lane. I've been pursuing Jesus, and I thank God that I am different than I was 3 years ago. I'm winning, and I will win. So we look for the signposts marked out for us, and then run with perseverance, with endurance. You know, I think that for me, I get tired easily when I run now. I'm an old guy. I'm probably carrying at least 2 pounds more weight than I should. But I realize if I had to run, I had a dream the other night that I had to run because I'm in Africa a lot, so I get to see lions. And I thought, once you see lions up close, you realize you don't want a lion to chase you, right? I mean, they're gnarly. And they look gnarly on TV. They're really gnarly when you can see them through the open window of the car and smell them. And I had a dream the other night that lions were coming after my Labrador Retriever, who I love. And so I was going to try to protect him till I realized how big they were. And I started running, and I realized, uh-oh, I can't run very far. And it was a bad dream, and I woke up in a cold sweat. Like, look, I can't run very far. But the Bible teaches me that I have to run with perseverance. It means I can't expect everything to be a short run. I can't approach life like I'm so discouraged that it's been so hard for so long. I need to run with endurance because life is long and often filled with unique hills and valleys and things like that. So when we look backwards at this cloud and the crowd, recognize they had things that made it challenging in their life, during their lifespan. And they recognize they had to run with endurance. And for Americans, I think, you know, comparatively, sometimes our lives are a little easier. And so as a result, we can become really tired really quickly. Like we can't run very far because we don't have to. And I spent a lot of time in Burundi and Rwanda, which are countries that are covered with hills so steep that you cannot even believe it. They're steep both ways, up and down. I mean, it's uphill both ways. And everybody you see there is slim and trim, and no joke, there's nothing worse than walking in Rwanda and going up a hill that never is going to end, and some little old lady with calves of steel passes you up with a burden in her flip-flops, you know, because they're prepared for a long, hard walk. And I thought, man, if I had to do their walk every day, man, that'd be rough. So in many ways, here in America, we're not prepared for persevering on a longer run. And if we feel really tired coming into the next leg in 2024, this may be a word to us. God, I need to recognize your blessings in my life, and I need you to help me to be a person that recognizes my run will be as long as you want. And I want to ask you to give me the strength to run it well today. I mean, the best thing you can do in the world is wake up in the morning and say, hello, Jesus, before you say anything else. And then say, Holy Spirit, give me the power to live well for you today. Give me the power to thrive in victory today. He says, run with perseverance, knowing that God has marked out a race for you. Third, in verse 2, he says, what is the runner's attention? What are you looking at when you're running? He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Jesus looked forward to the joy that was before him, and so he scorned the shame, he endured the cross, and he sat down in victory next to the throne of the Father in heaven, filled with joy. So it says, look, we should be keeping our eyes on Jesus. So as you run in 2024, you want to ask the question, where is Jesus? Because I want to have my eyes on him. A great evaluative question is, in 2023, what were my eyes fixed upon? It might have been personal issues of health, relationship, finance. It might have been political issues of, you know, the upcoming presidential election and, you know, all the different things that are happening in government. Our eyes get, it could be fixed on our money. It could be fixed on the good things going on. And what he says is, if you want to run with endurance, if you want to run a victorious race now in this new coming year, we should fix our eyes on Jesus and keep my eyes on him. And when I look up, my perspective is perfect. When I start looking downward at the things on this planet, my perspective gets skewed and I start to have fears and worries and I start to speak poorly about others and hoard money because fear and worldly things become the thing that my gaze is connected to. And all of us find ourselves looking down and around at times, but if you did that in 23 a lot and you recognize, man, I would love to run victoriously in 24, you want to think, what does it look like for me to focus on Jesus? And I said it in the first service, is many people say, what would Jesus do? That's an awesome thing. I'm in a situation, what would Jesus do as I'm running, as I'm chasing, as I'm hurtling, as I'm being chased by the lion? What would Jesus do? But just as importantly, for fixing your eyes on Jesus, think about this. What is Jesus doing? You know, my work internationally is, man, it's based on that. I'm asking, Jesus, what are you doing? Because whatever it is you're doing, I want in. It's like if you were a betting person and you went to Vegas, not that Christians would ever go to Vegas, but let's just say there's some Christians went to Vegas and they bet. But you had somebody with you who had an incredible record and had foresight about the bets. Wouldn't you want to bet with them? You'd say, I want in with them. Well, Jesus has perfect foresight. He has ultimate power. So I want to say, Jesus, what is it that you're doing uniquely in my community, in my family, for me, in the world, and where do I want to zoom in and invest my energy? Because I want my eyes fixed on you and what you are doing, and not just on my investments or my house or my grandkids, even though they're super cute. No, not on my hobbies. Those things are all awesome and great blessings. But he says, fix your eyes on Jesus. And not just when you have to endure difficulty, because it's really maybe more difficult for us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus when things are really going well, when you're really blessed. So he says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't look down at all the stuff that's happening in this world. Don't fix your gaze there. Glance down, but don't fix your gaze there. So in 2024, will you fix your eyes on Jesus? Ask him, what is he doing? Keep your eye on the ball and pursue him and make him the king of what's going on your world on a daily basis. And when you do that, your perspective to all the rest of it comes into, you just go, yeah, well, man, there's terrible things happening, but Jesus sits on the throne. When you watch whatever news channel you like to watch, whatever they say, Jesus didn't go, whoa, I didn't know that. What, huh? I mean, he's fully aware. He's fully in charge. He's fully activated. And when I put my eyes upon him, I can run effectively. And I'll run in my lane because he's always in front of me. He's like the dad running in front of his little boy going, come on, this way. It sounds childish, but man, sometimes, you know, Jesus said, maybe you need to become like children. And it is true. When I see him as the one in front of me saying, come this way, you're almost in the winner's circle. Enjoy your run. The next part is the runner's contemplation in verse 3. It says, consider him, and you could put let us in front of it. Let us consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Why? So that you don't grow weary and lose heart. Because that's what happens in our lives as we run. Sometimes we get tired. Like I said, for me, it doesn't take very long. That's why I live here. No lions, you know? Here's the deal, is we become weary. Even the most steadfast can become weary. And the end game of weary is when you lose heart. I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you lose heart and you lose hope, you're dealing with a false reality. It feels real. I don't want to not vindicate feelings when people feel exhausted, depleted, and just they've lost hope. It feels real, but it's not ultimate reality. Because Jesus is on the throne and you're a victor. And so he doesn't say, don't be weary. He just says, here's what you do. You consider, you meditate, you contemplate Jesus. And as we focus our minds and our hearts on Jesus, it gives us the strength for today. And if you lose heart, it's like a stumble and you end up back up. So he says, like, in your world, before you leave your bedroom in the morning, I hope that you will not only fix your eyes on Jesus, but you'll also start to deeply think, God, what are you doing? What do you need me to do? How do I join you in what you're doing today? If it's difficult, what do I give you thanks for? If it's awesome, what do I give you thanks for? But we want to seek out what God is doing by spending time literally reflecting on Jesus. And when I do that, what happens to me is my joy and my peace, my guidance, it changes. You see, in these simple three verses, what God wants to tell you and I is, you've got a race. You've got a race. You're a winner. Here are the tools to to be effective and joyful and efficient. And now as you finish the 23 leg, you can ask the question, what will I change to make the 24 leg even better? There's questions at the end of your handout that can totally help you to begin to ask the question, what are my hindrances? What is my sin that trips me up? How can I have greater endurance in the new year? How can I look and fix my eyes on Jesus and fix my thoughts and meditation on him so that I run well in this year? I'll close you with this word. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, who is his dear disciple. It's at the end of his life. Paul has had a long, hard race. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, 7, 8, he says this, "Hey, Tim, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." He knows he's going to be executed. "I've kept the faith, and there is now in store for me the crown of righteousness." It's the winner's wreath. The crown of righteousness, of rightness, of perfection, of cleansing, of joy, and eternal life, which the Lord will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. That means for you and I, if we are looking for Jesus, we're looking up the best we can, we're running towards him, it means that all of us will receive the crown of righteousness, the crown of victory. You win. God says so. Nobody can stop him. Nobody can refute him. Your feelings can't. The people in your past can't. The world that you live in can't. You win the race. If you have your Bible, circle the word all. To all who have longed for his appearing. I'm looking for Jesus. I hope you are. I'll see you there. I'll be the guy with the crown. So will you. We win, and the question is, how will we run between now and then for his glory, for our joy, for the peace of those around us who will see you and want to be running your race instead of theirs? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you love us, that you've forgiven us from all of our wrongs, and you know, you've told us to be fixing our eyes on you, not backwards at our past. We're not identified by that. We're identified by you. Lord, let us glance and figure out what we need to do to grow, but more than that, we just thank you for getting us to this place on the race. And we'd ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would give us the power to recognize our hindrances, anything that's totally got us tied up, to help us evaluate, you know, where we're looking, where we were, where we can, what you're doing, to be able to just increase our reflection on your beautiful grace in Christ, that we would live in reality, which is you love us, you're for us, you went on before us, you run backwards to call us towards you, and you will make us win the crown. Help us reflect, help us grow, and pray that our lives would be light to those around us who are running in the dark. Pray these things, Dad, in the beautiful and matchless name of Jesus, the Christ. Amen. Amen.